This morning on Wake Up With Hope, Elizabeth Talbert from Jesus 101 will be having our devotional thought. And we'll also have a special prayer session with the Let's Pray team.
Plus, we will have a musical blessing and an exclusive feature on the man who started a reformation.
Stay with us.
You're not going to want to miss a thing. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. You know, we are so thankful that you're choosing to join us this morning.
We sure are, friends, and we are excited to be here waking up with the hope that can only be found in Jesus. And today we want to share that special hope with you.
You know, today is National Nut Day.
Oh.
Right. No, it's not talking about me. All right.
Okay.
Making sure. It's a day for nutty fun, as this day was created to encourage the public to select healthier snack options.
Nuts are chock full of health benefits. Here are just a few. Nuts like almonds, walnuts, and pistachios are high in unsaturated fats, which help lower bad cholesterol and reduce the risk of heart disease.
Interesting. You know, many nuts, such as pecans and hazelnuts, are loaded with antioxidants like vitamin E, which, well, protects cells from oxidative stress and reduces inflammation.
Despite being calorie dense, nuts are a great snack for weight management. They're high in fiber, protein, and healthy fats, which help you feel full and satisfied, reducing overall calorie intake.
Interesting. And nuts, like walnuts, are linked to improved brain function due to their omega-3 fatty acids, antioxidants, and vitamin E, which support memory and cognitive function.
I could use
a lot of that. I think this is a good thing.
Yes, it is. So don't forget to celebrate National Nut Day by including nuts as a part of your daily diet. And just remember to keep it light. About a handful of nuts is all that's needed per day.
All right. Well, today is also International Caps Lock Day. There's going to be a lot of yelling on texting today.
Wow.
Well, you can celebrate by writing in caps lock all day long. You know, sometimes caps lock are used to, well, show excitement. And we have so much to be excited for today. So if I could be texting you a message today, watch Wake Up With Hope.
All in caps.
Well, today we're going to start off by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1797, the first significant parachute jump was performed by André Jacques Garnerin, who descended from a hydrogen balloon 3,200 feet above Paris. While Leonardo da Vinci had conceptualized the parachute in his writings, the French man Louis-Sébastien Lenormand created a rudimentary parachute using two umbrellas to jump from a tree in 1783. But it was Garnerin who became the first to design and successfully test parachutes capable of safely slowing a person's fall from a great height.
You know, friends, we can be the Garnerin in our lives, not only to think on, write, and dream about reaching new heights, but actually taking the steps and living it. You know, the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, "But those who wait in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." You know, when we take hold of Jesus, we are empowered to soar to new heights. He fills us with the courage we need to rise above fear and uncertainty. And when we trust with Him with our lives, He will catch us and lift us up, carrying us safely through the challenges we might face. And so today, we encourage you to be bold and take hold of faith in Jesus, knowing that with Him, there is no leap too great and no height too high for us to reach.
Amen. Well, this morning we're talking about the man who started a reformation on today's episode of The Incredible Journey. Tune in.
Martin Luther is one of the most influential and controversial figures in the history of the world. He was a German monk who forever changed Christianity when he nailed his 95 theses, or 95 propositions, to a church door in Germany in 1517 that sparked the Protestant Reformation. Martin was born at Eisleben, about 150 kilometers southwest of modern Berlin, but was raised in Mansfield, where his father Hans worked at the local copper mines. Hans sent Martin to Latin school and then, when Martin was only 13 years old, to the University of Erfurt to study law. Then in 1505, his life took a dramatic turn. As the 21-year-old Luther was walking on the road to Erfurt through a severe thunderstorm, a bolt of lightning struck the ground near him. "Help me, St. Anne," Luther cried, "and I will become a monk." Luther survived and kept his vow. He gave away all his possessions and entered the monastic life. Martin Luther was extraordinarily successful as a monk. He plunged into prayer, fasting, and doing ascetic practices, going without sleep, enduring bone-chilling cold without a blanket, and flagellating or beating himself. As he later commented, "If anyone could have earned heaven by the life of a monk, it was I." Though he desperately tried by these ways to love God fully, he found no consolation. He became increasingly terrified of the anger, the wrath of God, until he read and pondered on the Bible text found in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. "The righteous will live by faith." With great relief, Luther realized that you don't have to earn your way to heaven. Instead, it is a free gift from God to those who believe in Jesus. Luther began to share his belief that the Bible is the only source of religious authority and that salvation is reached through faith, not deeds. Luther's ideas set in motion the Protestant Reformation. And he wanted people to feel closer to God, and so translated the Bible into the local language of the people in his country. Luther also wrote the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." His actions unleashed forces that ended the Middle Ages, or Dark Ages, and ushered in the modern era. So, what does all this mean to us today? Well, amongst other things, it means that we can have the assurance today that God loves us, and that by believing in Jesus, all our mistakes can be forgiven and we can live forever. It means that we can accept salvation as a free gift from God. We don't have to earn it. It means that we can have true inner peace and happiness right now.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more exciting content.
And check out our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up with Hope and keep up with each one of our episodes.
Prayer is essential to the Christian life. Through prayer, we call heavenly helpers to our side, and through prayer, we give God permission to work mightily in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones. Shall we pray? Let's pray now with the Let's Pray team.
Hello, hello, everyone. My name is Season, and I am grateful that we have a chance to pray together today. The topic for today is thanking God for the gift of life. This is a big deal because personally, I feel like everything about Jesus is about life. It says in the Bible that, I think it's in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. Don't quote me on that, family, but it's in Corinthians. It talks about the fact that if there's no resurrection, if there's no life, then all of the rest of it is pointless. And I think that that life starts way early on when he is knitting us together. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 139, 13 through 14 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And while this verse can resonate so deeply with many in our community, if there has been maybe some traumatic childhood experiences, maybe there are some things that happened in your life where you're not so sure about that. You're not able to maybe connect to that. So I want to pray today, not just for those that are grateful and thankful, but for those who struggle to connect to this concept of the gratitude for the life that we've been given. Family, it's all right to admit that you're struggling through this. And I want to pray for you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of life. There was a time in my life when I was not that grateful. But first, Father, for everyone within the sound of my voice whose heart rejoices at the thought of the gift of life that you have given us, that intimacy of being knit together by you, Lord, and for all of the beauty that that implies, Heavenly Father, thank you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for helping us to be able to connect to the concept of this gift that we've been given, Father. And I thank you, Jesus, that I'm in a place where I no longer reject that life. Heavenly Father, for everyone in this community where it's not necessarily a joyous thing right now, Lord, I pray for your ministry, your reconciliation to the gift of life, Heavenly Father. For all of those within the sound of my voice, whether presently or in past, Father, have in their heart, they've turned from that gift of life, Heavenly Father. Jesus, I pray that you would forgive us. Lord, forgive us for rejecting the gift that you've given. And Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would refresh us with your forgiveness, Lord, and that you would bring new life in that area and help us as a community, Jesus, to receive the revelation that you have of being the life giver, the truth of who you are, Father, that all of it is about life. Lord, you came not just to die, but so that we might live. Jesus, you could not stand the thought of eternity without your kids. So you went through everything you did, Jesus, so that we might live and be reconnected with you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for ministering to the deep hurts that cause us to turn away as children or adults from this life. Sometimes, Lord, we pull away in wounding, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that we would begin to open our arms and our hands again, that we would begin to let down some of those walls, those of us who have been hurt and might be hurting today, Jesus. Lord, we want to say thank you, maybe for the first time in a long time, for life. Thank you for our life, Jesus. Lord, we know that there is deep struggle in this community for many. And I praise you, Lord, that you're not done with us yet. Father, thank you for everyone who is able to lend their joy and lend their faith for the goodness and the hope that your gift of life brings, Jesus. And for everybody who's not able at this point, or maybe just is for the first time today, able to connect to that once again after a long time, Father, thank you, Jesus, that they're lending that strength to us, Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you for being everything that I'm not, and for taking these words and making them what my hope is that they're saying for this community. Thank you for your life, and thank you for a chance to start again today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless you, family.
Psalms chapter 95, verse 1 says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation." You know, this morning, the Collingsworth family blesses us in song as we do just that. They sing the song, "Something Beautiful."
Guys, let's just gather around the piano. This is how we started. This is the six of us around the piano. And there's probably nothing that would be more appropriate than to sing this song right here.
Something beautiful, something new.
Can you testify to that?
Friends, don't go anywhere. When we return, Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 joins us to share this morning's devotional.
We are so glad you have chosen to wake up with hope today and start your day with us. Welcome back. You know, as promised, this morning we have Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 who will be sharing this morning's devotional thought.
Hello, everyone. Elizabeth Talbot here. We continue on our series on the Gospel of Luke. And today's topic is You Are Chosen. I want to get started with a little story that the known Christian writer Max Lucado tells. He says that one time he was on an airplane when a really bad turbulence came and that everybody started kind of screaming. Some people were praying out loud. Everybody was very scared because it wasn't just a regular storm. It was really bad. So he says that in the middle of the whole chaos, the person that was sitting behind him was laughing out loud. Everybody else was either crying or praying or yelling, and this person behind him was just laughing, but not a little laugh. He was like, ha, 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 type of laugh. And Max Lucado says that he was a little, you know, annoyed, saying, why is this person laughing in this situation? And so he turned around, and he saw this guy with earphones, and he was like this, completely plugged into his screen, obviously watching a very funny person tell some jokes. And that reality had completely taken over the situation. It had trumped the reality that they were in a really bad storm. And Max says that when he turned around, he said, you know, that is faith. When you can go into a different reality, you tune in to a different reality that actually is greater than the storms of life that you're going through. I really like that story because the truth is, we all, when we're in a crisis, we need to tune into a different reality. And today's topic, You Are Chosen, will do that for us. Because in the Gospel of Luke, the ones that were never chosen got chosen. The outcast and the marginalized and those that were thought to be so low in the social strata, they were the ones chosen. And the heroes of most of the stories in Luke are those that you would have never thought they would be the heroes. It's interesting because maybe you have experienced being a child who was never chosen for the main team, for the most important. You might have been one of those people that was chosen last. But the Gospel of Luke says that's not the way God sees us. He offers us a different reality. He chooses us first. He says, you are chosen. And that is his radical grace for us. So let's study this. We're going to go to Luke chapter 2, where we're going to find a group of shepherds. It's interesting because when we talk about shepherds nowadays, and we talk about little sheep, they're so cute. You know, the little sheep, if you can hold them. But in the time of the Bible, especially here in Luke, the first century, shepherds were looked at as very low in society. But that was not their only reality. Their reality was that if you start thinking about Bethlehem, because this is going to happen in Bethlehem in Luke chapter 2, Bethlehem was in the Judean territory, which at that time was taken over by the Roman rule. So the shepherds' reality is that they're being oppressed politically. But on top of that, because they're shepherds, they're looked at as so low in society. As a matter of fact, if a shepherd saw a crime, they couldn't testify in court because they were believed to be unworthy witnesses. And their witness was not counted in court. And that was their reality. And that night, they're watching the flocks in Bethlehem. You know, I had the incredible opportunity to go to Bethlehem. And there is a section there called the Shepherd's Field. And I'm going to show you a little part of a video here so you can see what those hills look like, the Shepherd's Hills. Around the same place is where David was watching the flocks 1,000 years before, because David also was from Bethlehem. And here they are watching their flocks with this reality that they're oppressed politically, that in the society they are looked at so low. And here comes an angel with a different reality. And the angel comes to tell them that they are chosen of God to be the first witnesses of Jesus' birth. And so he offers them a different reality. He says, put your earphones on. I'm telling you something different. God doesn't see like people see. And he has chosen you to be his witnesses. And let's read it. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And I love the fact that that night, the angel didn't go to the temple where the very important religious people were. He bypassed the temple and went to the fields to find the shepherds who were deemed unworthy witnesses. Chapter 2 of Luke, verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. The original Greek says they had mega fear. But the angel said to them, do not fear. I bring you a different reality. Behold, I bring you good news of mega joy, says the Greek. Leave your mega fear for mega joy, which it will be for all the people, not just for important people, not for those that were esteemed by society. It's for all the people. Today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, all the angels showed up in a choir to sing. And they were singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men. Well, this was a different reality. The angel was offering something different. And they went, and they found everything as the angel has said. And it's so interesting that they had been chosen to be the first witnesses. Even though society didn't choose them, they were chosen. As a matter of fact, the Gospel of Luke is the only gospel that tells us that the first witnesses of Jesus' birth were shepherds. And the first witnesses of his resurrection were women, which was the second group that was deemed unworthy witnesses, and they wouldn't be allowed in court to testify. Shepherds and women. And both groups were chosen by God for the two greatest events in history. So if today you feel that you have been marginalized, that you have been an outcast, that you were never chosen first, you were always chosen last because there was nobody else left, today I want to tell you that God doesn't see you that way. He chooses you. He chose you to be saved. He chose you when he was at the cross. Not only are you known, but you are chosen. And like these witnesses, God knows everything about you. And you know, the beautiful thing about Luke is that the response to seeing God choosing us for salvation is that everybody's praising in joy. There's four hymns in the first two chapters of the Gospel of Luke. Everybody is praising God for choosing them for salvation. And yes, salvation is for all who will accept it. So remember this, you are chosen by God. No matter what anybody else says, he thinks you are very special, and so special that he died for you at the cross. So today, throughout the day, remember this message, you are chosen. See you next time.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for inspiring us this morning.
Amen. And friends, thank you for spending time with us this morning. And if you would like to learn more about our program and our Hope Channel family, share us with a friend or even rewatch some part of today's program by visiting hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to wake up with us tomorrow morning. The Healthy Foodie will be back. We'll have music by the Collingsworth family, an inspiring devotional thought from John Bradshaw, and more. We hope to see you then. Plus, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
And that's all for today, friends. But before we go, we want to leave you with a Bible promise. And it comes from Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 21 and 22.
And it says, but if a wicked person turns away from all the sins they have committed and keeps all my decrees and does what is just and right, that person will surely live. They will not die. None of the offenses they have committed will be remembered against them. Because of the righteous things they have done, they will live.
You know, friend, God longs to redeem us. No matter what our past history may be, if we turn to God, He will see us not for what we were, but for what we are in Him.
What a beautiful promise yes. that is. Praise God. Thank you so much, friends, for spending your morning with us. We pray you have a wonderful day.
Let's pray together. Oh, thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for blessing our hearts, literally just filling us with so much hope, so much joy, so much peace. They're all gifts from you, and we are thankful for each one. We pray that you would guide us into our day, guide us through our day, and may we come to the end of the day knowing that you were faithful and true as we walked with you today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.